Beautiful singing. What a great honor and blessing it is to be here. And we're so grateful to our God for this wonderful day He's given us. And we want to make sure that we are always thankful for that blessing. We're thankful for the visitors we have among us this morning. To those visitors, please understand that you are an encouragement to us. And I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if you have any questions about anything, please just ask, and we'd love to share the hope that we have in us and explain that to you. Another thing here before we get in the lesson, I'm not going to be here next Sunday. Lord willing, I will be worshiping at the Walla Walla Washington Church of Christ. Right? And so that's where I'll be next Sunday. And then 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, we will be back. And so lots of prayers for us. Grace and I are going, so lots of prayers for us for a safe trip would be much appreciated. You know, sometimes when life's going really, really well, right, everything's just going great. Life's on cruise control. And it seems, you know, no issues, no real issues, and then all of a sudden, bam, chaos rolls into your life, right? We've all been there, right? And your world is turned upside down for some reason or another. You know, maybe it's your job, maybe it's financial, maybe it's a family, maybe it's health, your health, or the health of a loved one in your world is just shaken up and it's turned upside down. It's happened to all of us. Now, if that hasn't happened to you, be thankful and know that it is coming, because that's just life. Right? That's just the world in which we live. We live in a world of sin and darkness, and things happen. Right? In this world that we're not meant to be in, right? We're only meant to be here temporarily. This is not our home. And you cannot stay. And you have all of that personal chaos that can occur. You know, you think about all the things that is going around in the chaotic world around us. You know, just to mention a couple there, the elections, in case you haven't heard. A lot of chaos in that, right? Heads butting. You think about inflation. Everything's more expensive, isn't it? That can hurt a lot of people. What about crime? Right? Crime seems to be going up. But what about the chaos around the world? Right? We talk about a lot of things. Ukraine and Russia. We talk about the Middle East. We talk about, you know, any day, experts think China's going to try for Taiwan, the Koreas, you name it, right? Chaos in the world. We're talking about our southern border, right? It's a narco state. You know, all of this going on, and so we have chaos in our lives, and there's chaos in the world. So what do? How true it is, one moment things are going great, the next moment our whole world is turned upside down. I want you to step back with me about 2,000 years to about AD 30. If you would open your Bible to Mark the 3rd chapter. Here things are going well for Jesus and the disciples. In chapter 3, beginning of verse 7, book of Mark, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude followed from Galilee. Great multitude again in verse 8. Great multitude in verse 9. And Jesus is healing folks. Physical sickness, spiritual sickness. Great multitudes are following Jesus. chapter 4 and verse 1, great multitudes. Everything's going great. Everything's going well. Good things are happening for the Lord and his disciples. And man, I'm sure the disciples were thinking, wow, this is wonderful. This is awesome. Look at all these great crowds that are following Jesus, and we're his disciples. And he can heal people from sickness. He can cast out demons. Wow, things are going great. But then notice this in chapter 4, verses 35 and following. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So things are going very well for Jesus and the disciples, large, large crowds. Right, so much so, he's going to go in a boat to make it a pulpit to preach to all the people on the land. Right, healing all sorts of diseases. But by nightfall, things are going to change. Right? Things are going to become scary. Life is going to tumble in, and those in the boat, they're going to cry for peace in the midst of this storm. Now, what I want to do for this lesson is, I want to briefly look at four narratives in Mark 4 and 5. And I want us to take from this that Jesus can bring peace out of the chaos of our lives. Right? And there's no doubt that that calm, that peace, that contentment, that serenity can only come from God. It's a gift from God amongst the chaos. So I want us to think about here, number one, some peace of mind passages, right? Just listen to a handful of verses here, if you would. Listen carefully. Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses or transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4 and verse 7. John 14, verse 27, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And John 16, verse 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Paul tells us that peace is a product of God living in us. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peter admonishes in 1 Peter 3 and verse 11, "Turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." And then in chapter 5, verse 7, same book, "Cast all your anxieties or your cares upon him because he cares for you." And the psalmist reminds us, "The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace." So when life comes tumbling in, you know, when the chaos abounds, we've got to turn to Jesus. Go back here to Mark chapter 4 if you have your Bible this morning. Right, then this storm came all of a sudden. Right, calm one moment, and then suddenly they're being tossed about by a tempestuous sea. You know, your King James, if you're reading out of that, says it was a great storm. NIV says a furious squall, I believe. Right, a storm of life-threatening proportions. Right, the boat begins to fill with water. The disciples are panicking. And understand, these are experienced fishermen. They've been through these storms before, right? They knew what could happen was happening. Right? But in their fear, in their moment of panic, what do they forget? They forgot that Jehovah God, Yahweh, God in the flesh, was asleep in the back of the boat. Right? In their effort to keep the boat afloat, they forgot who Jesus was. And that he was in their presence. And so Mark says, when the waves had filled the ship, when it was evident that all that could be done was done, and they're about to go down, they wake up Jesus and say, Master, get up. Don't you care? Can't you see we're going to perish? We're going to drown. We're dying. You know, that's sometimes, unfortunately, what we do when the chaos in life overwhelms us, right? We blame God and we say, God, don't you care? And it's interesting that Jesus just says three words, peace be still. And just that quick, the wind stopped blowing, the waves subsided, the lake, the Sea of Galilee, flat as a mirror. Not just calm, not just quiet. King James says, a great calm. Right? Not a draft in the air, not a breeze on your cheek. Clouds are gone. It's at night, so the moon and the stars, they're shining. Jesus speaks three words. In all of nature, every element responds. In Matthew's rendering of this event, Matthew 8, verse 26, right? Jesus, he spoke those three words. But he said to them, why are you fearful, or you have little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Right? And Mark over here records that their response to Jesus doing this was, who is this? What manner of person is this that all of nature just respond to the words of his mouth? All of nature responds to his voice. In other words, he is in control. Listen, if Jesus can calm all of nature with three words, think about the peace that he can bring to the chaos of your life. Think about that. And so, in the midst of all the chaos around us, and if you're going through chaos in your life right now, let's take a collective breath. And relax. God is in control. Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still, take a breath, be still, and know that he is God. He's in control. So no matter what, our God is in control. In Mark, the fifth chapter, we see the power that Jesus has over Satan. The power over Satan and sin, if you will. Right? And so after this event, they're on the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, specifically a cemetery. Right? Nature's storm is over. The lake sea is calm. But there's another storm, a sin storm, if you will. Right? There's a wild man who lives among the tombs, and he comes running up to them. And in verse 2, right, he's cut himself, he's scary looking, he's bleeding. Right, verse 5, he had been bound with chains, and in my mind's eye, I still see the broken chains still attached to him. He's broken. Right, another scary, life-threatening event, verse 8. But Jesus commands evil spirits to come out of the man, and they do. And listen, I hope we are all concerned about the sin storm in our life. I fear we're not as righteous as we think we are. Sin is a pandemic, and at our very best, we need Jesus. Right? We need his help overcoming temptation. We need his help for the forgiveness that he offers when we fail. Right? Jesus absolutely has power over Satan and sin. And let me give you a few more peace-giving scripture here. Matthew 11:28-29, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest, peace for your souls. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continuously cleanses us from all sin. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God is faithful, and he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. That's a peace passage right there. Right? But when we're tempted, he will also provide a way of escape for us. That's a peace passage. Why? So that we can bear up under it. We're able to bear it. We can stand up under it. That is a peace passage. Listen, there is no sin so ugly that Jesus can't take care of it. There is no sinful situation that Jesus cannot take control of for us. There's no sinful situation that Jesus cannot and will not forgive and bring about peace if we seek him on his terms and obey him. Next here in Mark, the 5th chapter, Jesus demonstrates his power over disease. Well, so now they're back on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A crowd is gathered. People are pressed in about him. Some are sick. Some are demon-possessed. Others they're hungry physically and spiritually. Right? Before they go very far, the press of the crowd, we meet a woman in her own private storm, if you will, in verse 25. She's bleeding. She's hemorrhaging. And so for the last 12 years, she's had no relief, no healing, no peace. And with the desperate faith, she reaches and in my mind's eye, she's straining every muscle. And in Matthew's account of this, she said in her mind, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. Verse 29, and straightway, immediately, the Bible says, her bleeding stopped, she was freed from her suffering. Listen, Jesus has power over disease. And how many of us can use this healing power of Jesus to bring peace into our lives? Even this day, even right now, this moment. Next, finally, here we meet a fellow by the name of Jairus. Disturbing news comes in verse 35. Jairus, your daughter, is dead. Listen to Jesus here as he speaks to Jairus and us. In verse 36, do not be afraid. Just believe, Jairus. Just have faith, Jairus. Have a desperate faith, Jairus. And as they enter his home, Jesus takes a hand of the little girl and says in Aramaic, Talitha Kumai, which means little girl, arise. Get up, and she does. Jesus has power over death. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. A few months later, he's going to raise Lazarus. Right? He was raised from the tomb by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Romans, the 6th chapter, and one day he's going to raise us. Listen to Paul here as he explains death in the terms of peace. This is our scripture reading earlier. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is that great resurrection chapter. The first half is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The second half is about our resurrection if we get into his resurrection. So listen, if you've never obeyed the gospel, here's the answer. Here's the answer to any chaos in your life and the peace that hopefully you want and need in your life. We're going to go back a little bit further than our scripture reading, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So, when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're in Christ, you already have the victory. You're on the winning team. Right? The only thing you can do to a Christian is send him to heaven. You can't kill a Christian. You can only send him to heaven. Knowing who we are, what we have in Christ, Satan's defeated, right? He defeated sin, he defeated death. In Christ, I have victory. Then we got our theme verse for the year in verse 58. And he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's talking to Christian, those who've attached themselves to the victory of Christ, right, with that being true, now we can be steadfast and movable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that a work of the Lord has not been in vain in Christ. See how it all works together? And that ought to give me peace amidst the chaos in my life or in the world. Death has no sting. Grave has no victory. We're safe in the arms of Jesus through faith in the new birth. So now we can be steadfast and immovable, always abounding. And so therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, Romans 8:1, those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so it's my hope here, we're going to wind down in just a moment, that these four narratives here in Mark, that we know when the chaos comes, because it will, it will absolutely happen. When we're facing a storm, when life tumbles in, we're riding high and then bam, we're shot down. That we know where to turn for peace. Right? Know this, that there are some chaos moments over which we have no control, right? And there's just storms that man, we can't do anything about it. But Jesus can. Right? Listen to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Obey Jesus. You know, Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus said, some things are impossible for man, but all things are possible for God. And here in Mark 9, verse 23, he says, everything's possible for him who believes. And notice now how we can have access to God's peace-giving power and presence today. So what do I learn this morning? Well, I got to bring my storms to Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 19 through 21. Listen, I've got to bring my storms to Jesus. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults and you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, look at this account in Luke chapter 22. Listen, sometimes Jesus chooses not to calm the chaos in our lives. Now hear me on this. Sometimes Jesus chooses not to calm the chaos in our lives, but to strengthen us so that we can weather the storm. Jesus prayed right here that the cup of the suffering that he was about to endure would be removed. Well, that was part of his prayer here in Luke 22. But it was God's will that Jesus faced the storm, that Jesus experienced the storm. You know, to walk through this storm, to suffer the cross. And so Luke says, after he prayed, God sent an angel to come minister to him, strengthen him, and give him peace so that he could endure the cross. The cross wasn't removed, but he got the peace to endure the cross. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, remember, there in that chapter, Paul was praying that the Lord would remove that thorn in the flesh that he had, whatever that thorn was. Please, God, remove this storm, this chaos, this pain from my life. And you remember the answer in verse 9? Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul, in weakness, you're going to be made strong. Sometimes God gives us the inner strength, the calm, and the peace for our chaos moments. He's not going to remove the chaos. He's going to give us the means to endure the chaos, to strengthen us. What a powerful thought that we learned this morning from this text. Remember, this peace, this serenity, it's not a freedom from the storm, but peace and serenity from God is what he gives us to weather the storm. You know, why is it, when you think about this, these examples here, what we're thinking about this morning, listen, we need a desperate faith. Right? In each of these narratives, we read about people that had a desperate faith. And listen, if your religion has become a luxury and not a necessity, you may not make it through the storm. We need this desperate faith. And, you know, why is it that we can see God working in the lives of folks in the Bible, but we can't believe that he's at work in our lives today, especially amidst the chaos? Ephesians, the third chapter, in verse 20, God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine, according to the power that's at work in us. That's true peace. The book of Hebrews ends with these words. It says, may the God of peace, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Right, the power of our personal and collective peace is promised by God, who is working in our lives as his people. Of all the people in the world, we are the only ones that can have real, true peace. We do what Jesus asked. At Jairus' house, it was Talitha Kumai, little girl, arise and feed her. The woman with the 12-year struggle of illness, it was your faith has made you well. Go in peace. The blind man in John, the 9th chapter, was told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The woman caught in adultery in John 8 was, go and sin no more. At the grave of Lazarus, it was, remove the stone and loose his bindings. We've got to be willing to do what Jesus asks. And so the question this morning is, as we're about to offer the Lord's invitation, is, you know, are we? We're looking for the words of Jesus and following the words of Jesus. How are we doing that? You know, we're willing to seek him and his words and change our lives and allow God to sit on the throne of our lives. Now, here's a problem in the moments of chaos. We think we need to be sitting on the throne of our lives in control. God, this one's just too big. I got to handle it. I got to handle this the way that I want to handle it. We try to take Jesus off the throne of our life and we put ourselves there. And it never works out. Never. We've got to seek Jesus, listen to Jesus, respond to Jesus. So let's decide today to allow him to bring peace and serenity into our lives and to glorify him in that decision. And so this morning, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, listen, it is impossible for you to have peace. Now, you can fool yourself into thinking that everything's okay in your life and you got it all figured out and you don't need Jesus. You don't need his gospel. And Satan will help out and all that to let you think everything's fine. Listen, Jesus is coming back, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. He's coming back someday at a time that we do not know, the Bible says. An hour, a time that we do not know. And he's going to come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And he's going to take vengeance on those who know not God and do not obey his gospel. In other words, you can know God, you can claim God, you can say, I'm a God-fearing person, but if you have not obeyed the gospel, the Bible says you're going to suffer the consequences. So the gospel, and we learn in 1 Corinthians 15, is literally the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Have you obeyed the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Romans 6, 3 and 4 tells us it's by reenacting his death, his burial, and resurrection in water, baptism, immersion, for the removal of our sins. And we're doing that because we have a response of faith. We believe who he is. John 8, 24. We're willing to confess who he is, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Repent of our sins, Acts 2, 38, and reenact that in water to rise up to walk in newness of life. Now God, after that point, doesn't say I'm going to remove the chaos from your life, but I'll give you peace amidst the chaos. So if you haven't made that decision, you got an opportunity to do so this morning. If you want to study that more, it would honor us greatly to be involved in that study to help you. If you've done that and you've fallen away and something has occurred in your life where there's something you want to bring before the church, be reconciled to God, we'd love to help you there also. So if you have any need this morning, please don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.